Hey, Spin and Backfist listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if Gaudi Pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
All right. We're live. We should be live. We should be live. Let us know if there's any audio issues or any tech issues. This mic isn't completely stand. We're in a new studio. If you're watching and not just listening on the podcast feed, it's the same studio, but it's just been redone a bit, and it looks nicer now.
More comfortable, too.
Yeah. Couple big chairs, table in front of us, some plants. Look at that, ferns, ladies and gentlemen. Can you hear us? Give us a thumbs up or something in the chat if you could hear us.
I wish there's nothing a big guy loves more than a big chair. I can straight man spread in this bitch.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. A lot of leg room.
Very cozy.
The old table we had in here was also just falling apart for as long as we had it in here. It was slowly but surely going. No, Jack Mack is right. Unfortunately, this is kind of a last minute show. We put it together last minute. So Jack Mack will be back next week or whenever we do another show. But for this one, he's doing unnecessary roughness stuff and coming to the office and whatnot.
You know, so he's got in and said, well, yeah, we'll be back. Obviously, we got a lot to talk about. Got to unpack.
Totally.
Kind of final unpacking of
UFC 282. Look at the chat already. They want us to talk about the Patty fight. Let's start there. Let's start with Patty versus Jared Gordon, UFC 282. It was a great event. Me, Dave, and Dan got to go. It was a packed day for us.
You guys had a hell of a, 36 hours.
Yeah.
It was actually really 24.
I'd rough say. And rowdy in Providence to Army, Navy, to UFC 282. We arrived a little after the Billy Q fight. I want to say we arrived during the
so you got there like Shabazzian you got there like prelims fight. Yeah prelims
yeah so we got to see most of the card. It was a great card, obviously 10 straight finishes leading up to the Patty fight, and then the fight of the night happened, Patty versus Jared Gordon. As everyone was tweeting, oh my god, the fight of the night clip.
But clearly,
we'll get into Gaethje and all that. We'll get into that as well. The fight itself, way closer than we could have wanted it to be, I would say. Oh my god, I felt the anxiety in the arena. Like after round one, Max was coming up to me with the camera after every round. What do you think? I was like, a little bit closer than I wanted it to be. After round two, I said, a little bit closer than I wanted it to be. And after round three, I was like, I don't know what's happening here. I don't know what's about to happen with the judges. Didn't know what they were going to say. And then they give it to Patty unanimously, and the internet is set ablaze. Ariel Helwani calls it the worst decision in MMA history. We've got fighters, cornermen, fans tweeting about it. Patty goes on the mic. He says it wasn't even close. Fight of the night. He gets even more people hopping on him after that, right? So it's been a crazy, crazy week of being a Patty rider on Twitter. But I'm still a Patty rider, ladies and gentlemen. And if you tuned into this show to hear me say, like, yeah, Jared Gordon won the fight, you're not going to hear it.
No, Patty through and through. I think I was the most worried. It's been weird to digest. Like I can't imagine what it was being in the building, just being home. And so I don't know what's wrong with me. I've been like, I feel like I've been sick for like
we're
a
all
month.
Sick. Yeah.
But it was hard to digest because the first round, like I'll be honest, like the that Jared Gordon left hook was landing quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I was very like, ooh, I don't like that. And then even at the point by probably like the, not too far in the first round, you could literally hear his corner yelling, put your hands up.
Yeah.
Because it was Patty. He definitely keeps his chin up. He's very confident.
And he's got a great chin.
He does. No, he does.
We don't want him to get tested.
No.
You know?
Gordon landed quite a few times, especially in the first round, I would say the most. And he never really, like, rocked him, but he caught him quite a bit with it. That was concerning. Yeah, I don't know. There's a few things. People saying the worst robbery in history. I feel like that's been said like 9 times this year at least.
That's crazy.
Because people are acting like, so like, listen, when I went to the judges' scorecards, I was like, I have no idea.
Oh, I was terrified.
I was like, I have no idea what's going to happen right now. But also, I feel like people are acting as if Jared Gordon like beat the brakes off him,
and he didn't. It was such a close fight where nothing happened in the third round.
Yeah, like there were, and I think what people it's weird because the third round, obviously, like Jared Gordon definitely had like the control, but he did nothing with it, and we've seen like that type of activity is so like up in the air for judges now.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the scorecards, I want to say 2 or at least, or maybe even 3, gave Gordon the third round.
Yes.
So that's like,
think 2 of them did.
Yeah. I knew at least 2. I know like that's always the thing that can be wishy-washy with judges. Cause like some people see control time as significant. Some see it as kind of like literally nothing if you don't do any damage, which he really didn't in the third round.
He threw 4 punches.
Yes, that exactly.
You know, he really landed 6, I think. And Jared threw 4. He had the control, pushed him up against the fence, did nothing with it. Like you said, Ev, but also Patty ended the round on his back.
With
a good position and everything like that. So I do think if you're scoring it 29-28 for Patty, it's 2 and 3. Patty ended both 2 and 3 well.
So I think the problem that a lot of people had, which this part I can understand a little bit at least, is that 2 of 3 judges gave Patty the first round.
That's something I did not expect him
to get the first round.
Neither did I.
So that and that's kind of where I think like Dana kind of made the third round comment about Jared. Which on this in the post presser, which obviously if you watch UFC for a while, everyone knows he hates when people like kind of like coast in the third round, if you will. He does not like that. He likes people to go for finishes, go after it. He likes people that are always trying to finish the fighter. Pretty much is like exact verbiage. It was a weird fight. Like I definitely, like I said, I was.
It was a weird fight. The third round overall, was so strange.
It was just strange. Honestly, the whole fight was strange because there was just so many like different things happening. Like you just didn't, it was just tough to score. That's why I think I was almost basically expecting a split.
Yeah.
I'll admit when
when
it was unanimous, I was even more scared.
So was I.
In that split moment where he says by unanimous decision, I was like, oh no.
Yeah. But I got to give Bruce credit. He didn't leave us hanging. Sometimes he'll leave you hanging for a second. He went right to like Patty.
I've been noticing. I think he does quite a bit is, he will look at the guy who lost and then go like this.
Oh, really?
I feel like I've noticed that more. Maybe I'm wrong.
He's got like a tell.
Especially in those like closer fights where like you really don't know. I feel like a lot of times he will give a little like one of these and be like kind of like right, be right behind Gordon, then like almost point at Gordon with a card hand.
Yeah.
When he holds the card and then just flip it back.
So off of this comes a bunch of stuff. The Justin Gaethje thing, I think, is worth bringing up first.
Yeah.
In that Justin Gaethje quote tweets a video of Dave and Dan meeting up with Patty after the fight as he's walking to the back. And he goes, Dana, fight to the night. And Dana goes, have you been watching tonight? He's like, absolutely not, dude. What are you talking about? Easily, at that point, the worst fight of the night.
Yeah.
All due respect to Patty. Just, it was 10 straight finishes.
There was a ton of finishes. Ton of great, even like, come, like, Bargat Billy Q has the great comeback, like a lot
comeback,
of great
comeback. Ponzinibbio.
Yeah, Ponzinibbio, insane comeback.
Yeah, so there's like all these great finishes, right? And Dave and Dan realize this in the moment, and they're laughing. You could see in the video the grin Big Cat has as he turns around. He goes, fight of the night, Dana. You heard him, fight of the night. Justin Gaethje, this guy, oh my God, this guy with 2 brain cells in his head, quote tweets this and says, this is such a bad look for the Barstool guys. They're on their knees for Patty. They're just sucking them off. What a bad look for the sport. 50K, he doesn't need 50K. Justin Gaethje, talking about a bad look after going to Kadyrov's son's birthday party, shooting Kadyrov's bazookas, throwing Kadyrov's grenades at Kadyrov's house, at his facility, and then saying, no, I didn't go over to Kadyrov. I was just there for a kid's birthday party. Who was the kid? Kadyrov Jr. That was the kid. And him coming at us a month after he does all of this and saying it's a bad look was one of the dumber moves he ever could have made. Because I think we brought more attention to him going over to Kadyrov than he ever wanted getting brought to it.
That part is definitely true. Dave bringing it to light. I mean, Dave obviously does have a massive following. So.
Gaethje hasn't tweeted since then, by the way. He's gone Zero Dark 30 on Twitter.
Yeah, and there's always some. I will say this before anything. I will ride with Dave Portnoy until literally the day I die. That man, as far as I'm concerned, literally picked me up off the street and gave me a life I could have never imagined. So I'll be with, like, good or bad, I'm with Dave forever. These parts always trouble me a little bit because I'm like, fuck, like, I love Gaethje.
I loved him.
I love Justin Gaethje, but I'm like, fuck. Like,
I would have never brought this up if he didn't come after us.
Like, 100%. And that's why I'm like, but listen, it's Dave, or it's, I'm with Dave forever. So
don't throw stones in glass houses.
I'm on Dave's side. Gaethje. For sure, but love Gaethje as a fighter, and even like him a lot as a guy. Like, I don't think he's like a bad. I don't think he's like a terrible human being.
No, I think he's a terrible American, but not a terrible human being. Yeah, definitely turned his back on the country he swears he loves.
That was tough. It definitely is tough when people are like, when he's like, I wasn't like, there's no proof of that.
He's like, you can't find a picture of us together.
He literally specifically said, you cannot find a picture of us together, and then immediately a picture is replied to his comment. Yeah. So.
Just a silly boy, a silly move.
I think, I understand, like, I think sometimes we, like, we obviously have, like, obviously there's a lot of bits going on, a lot of, like, tongue-in-cheek talk.
Yeah, I guess.
So people are not always, like, in on it, and sometimes I'm like, oh, like, how can you be so stupid? And there's, like, listen, this is one of those times where it's, like,
that one seems so obvious.
Dude, like, obviously no one, like, well, it's tough because I think Patty really did.
Oh, Patty was serious.
I think that kind of like misleads people because he genuinely meant it.
Yeah.
But Dave, like Dave and Dan in that clip, like they're obviously joking.
They're
like,
in blonde wigs.
And I think, yeah, exactly. And I think anyone that's like watching or like saw those fights, it's pretty clear. Like, come on, man. Like there was some incredible fights. Like clearly that was not one of even the better fights of the night. And one could argue if you just said pure action,
might be
maybe the worst dead on last, the card. Yeah. Like, if we're being like, totally honest. No
disrespect, but yeah, it was an anomaly of a card where we got 10 straight finishes. I don't think that ever happened. The record for most finishes ever on a card is 11. We were almost there. So definitely just a crazy whole event that happens after that. We did see Jared Gordon after the fight too. And there was the video that went out that Dave put out where he's like, where's Portnoy? He's like, I was going to say suck it after the fight. He was super cool. He was like super cordial to all of us and said hi to all of us and everything. And I guess that's it for the Patty fight. Was there anything else that came off of it that's worth talking about as like a,
well, the only, so
Dave sang Justin Gaethje's name on the rundown yesterday is worth you guys going and watching the rundown for. He threw 10 R's in there that don't belong in there.
Just Garchy.
He was like Justin Graythree.
Okay, honestly, the Gaethje is a weird, tough. It's a strange combo. You don't rarely see that together.
Yeah.
I think the only thing, so I guess a couple, just I think Gordon is a very like good guy, and I have zero ill will towards Jared Gordon. Yeah. Very, very good guy
from here on out,
like genuinely good. Like, I think a genuinely like good person, and it's not like a, like not clout chasing or like anything like that. Like, just like a nice guy, like good fighter.
He's calling for a rematch. I don't think he'll get it. Yeah. But smart.
I doubt it, but hey, like you never know.
Shoot your shot for sure.
Cause I think this puts Patty in an interesting spot. And also what I was going to say with Gordon, I was forgetting for a second, was that I almost think not getting the decision almost like helped him publicly.
Definitely.
Cause I think if Patty just runs away with this fight, say he knocks him out or submits him in the second round or something, I think Gordon just kind of like, just, it's whatever.
He's just another guy.
Like now people, like, I think it honestly almost helped him. And Patty, I think this can go a couple different ways going forward. Listen, people, whether they like you or hate you, if they're like, just the eyeballs are on you, they're going to tune in to watch you. Yep. So I think that almost spin zone could help Patty long term. That I do believe, like, this definitely swung some people against him. I think that's just kind of like the truth.
No doubt.
From seeing the internet and all that. So, but I think that could help long term.
It was this combined with the Ariel stuff.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. The other part too is, I think, I don't know how he feels about this now. I'd be curious kind of his take on it, like right this second. But I think his handling in the moment rubs some people the wrong way.
Him saying it wasn't even close.
Him saying it wasn't close in the cage and this and that. I think that rubs some people the wrong way. Where I'll bring up kind of a similar example, even though the fight action wise was much, much better. We'll talk the Sugar Jan fight, where Sugar and he has kind of been the one that was more cocky in general. Sugar, he likes to troll and say like he likes to say like how he never lost a Cheeto, blah blah blah. he was kind of very humble in the moment.
Yeah.
And I think people at least were able to like appreciate that.
Yeah.
That he was like, man, I like
seemed confused.
Almost. I was in a war. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, I'll have to go back and watch the fight. And I think if Paddy had more of like that mentality, I think maybe people would have taken more, more kindly to that.
I will say,
I don't know if that's true or not.
When he said it wasn't even close, it felt like that specifically got booze.
And that's kind of how I felt when I watched it too. I was like, oh, like that. Cause I thought I was surprised after that kind of fight that he came at it that aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause like, it wasn't an entertaining fight. It could have went, a lot of people obviously thought he didn't win the fight in general. So I think just seeing all of that, it kind of was like, ooh, like I don't know how well that's going to land. Or at least Sugar, I think people hated the decision then, but I think people were able to come back. I think his handling of it and being like, oh, like, listen. And also it was just a really good fight.
Yeah.
Where I think even though a lot of people thought he lost, he still earned respect because they were like, yo, you just went toe to toe with maybe the best bantamweight in the world. Yeah, so yeah. I think that part of it kind of was like that. I think just comparing those two situations and seeing the difference, I think you can kind of like point to, oh, like maybe that's where things went south for him, plus the aerial stuff during the week for sure.
And then we have some people in the chat, Antonio already saying Paddy should fight in London. That should be the next one. I'm not even sure he'll be able to fight in London. I don't know what the current status of his foot is, but he was saying in his post-fight presser afterwards, he fucked his foot up with a kick in the first round, and it had been pretty messed up throughout the fight. And even going into the third round, he was like, I'm glad that Jared wanted to coast and go against the fence, because I don't know if I would have been able to stand and trade with him on my foot.
Wow.
So I don't know if he'll be ready for March. We are starting to get that card coming together.
Well, he also said he was taking, as they say, a holiday, a vacation.
Yep.
He's getting married, taking a vacation in January. So I don't think that puts him in a spot. I'm not sure
when his wedding is, but I think it's April or May.
So I'd imagine he's not going to fight right before that.
Yeah.
And also they're doing, I believe, two pay-per-view cards in March. The early one is in Vegas. I believe the later one, is the London one.
March 18th, I think.
Okay, so March 18th. I think the other one's maybe March 4th or something like that.
Yep.
But yeah, I would imagine, gun to my head, I'd imagine he's not fighting on the London card.
I don't think he will. I would imagine Molly will.
I think so.
Molly will be ready. I think she's chomping.
That timeline makes sense.
Yeah. And it'll be great. How can you do a London event without one of them at least?
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude.
Go buy it, go drink it, drink responsibly, and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb. Drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
At this point.
For sure.
And the first fight we got for it. Is it the first fight? The first official fight we got other than Leon? We know.
One half. Like, well, because now there's rumor with Usman might not be ready.
Yeah. People were saying maybe Leon will get that Masvidal fight. He wanted a title shot.
I said in our group chat, I was like, even though, listen, I know I've been like the Masvidal guy on the show. I love Masvidal, regardless of some of the last year's antics. even though, like, he is in no way deserving of it. Yeah. Watching the world I like to watch the world burn.
Same.
So if he just somehow just gets this third title shot,
I'd love it.
After not winning a fight, it would be pretty funny. Not funny for the sport, but just funny for the people that are gonna be like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I can't how could he get another fight?
He hasn't won a fight
in X amount of years.
Yeah, just fights. To watch the people that are reacting to like the video of me saying Paddy won 30-27. Like the same people that reacted to that will react to that and be like, but what about Bilal? the first fight is Vittori Dalidze.
Dalidze is my guy.
Which is an awesome fight.
Great fight. I think I said this to Jack Mack. We talked about some of the fights to make on Sunday. We were here for like NFL streams. And I was saying I was hoping they would give somebody a big Dalidze fight. And Vittori's about as big as I think he was going to get. Yeah, that's a great fight.
Absolutely.
I'm in
London too, like right by Italy. I wonder if you'll get some Italian fans coming in for Vittori.
I would think so. I'm very, very curious the way that fight's going to be lined.
There's not a line out for it yet?
There might be, I don't even know if it's like official yet.
Yeah.
It like just got announced right literally within the last like hour or so. So I haven't seen a line or anything yet. If that line is Dalidze plus like 160 or above, I will be gladly on Dalidze. Gladly. I might be regardless. I just think his grappling against Hermanto was so impressive. And he hits like a truck too. I mean, Vittori's a beast. Like, don't get me wrong, Vittori's a phenomenal fighter. But yeah, I don't know. That's gonna be interesting. Going off, I guess quickly on that London card. Interesting if Usman's really out, Colby could get that against Leon. That would make sense as well.
Yep.
Or even if they want to give it to Hamzat.
What do you think they would? I feel like Dana White might love the Hamzat Colby fight enough to not want to break that up, though.
See, I think so too. I would think so too. But I think if Usman is not ready for that, I think they might have to break it because it's like, who else do you get? Yeah. Unless they just gave him Masvidal.
Yeah.
But I almost don't know if Dana could, like, Dana would have to do two things. Like, he'd have to just go up there and just say, like, yeah, like, we get it. Like, yeah, this is a fight that people want. It's a legit grudge match. Like,
do you give Bilal like a Christmas it or not, bonus? Like, here you go. This is for
like,
you.
I would feel, because Bilal, I feel bad for Bilal because people give Bilal a lot of shit. And he's been on such an incredible tear.
He gets as much shit as anyone.
He really does. Like, you have to give him a ton of credit. Like, he has just fought guy after guy after guy. And he just beat them all. From Wonderboy, Luke Gay, Sean. He knocks off Sean Brady, undefeated Sean Brady. Like, the guy he's fought up in the division, he's fought down. Like,
yeah,
he's in a spot where it's like, you got to give him a big fight eventually. I mean, those are like big fights, but I'm talking like a big fight.
Like, yeah,
give him a Colby or a Hamzat or like one of these guys. His problem is his fighting style is just not exciting.
No, it's not.
And that's his biggest detriment. And he's not like, he's not a Colby where he's not like a crowd pleaser, a crowd hate. Like, people
throw the shades on.
Yeah, like, he just throws it. That's about as far as it gets. It's remember the name. Yeah. Like, we remember the name, but we don't remember the fights very well sometimes.
What else should we break down from UFC 282? Obviously, friend of the show, Billy Q, with a great win. The controversial split decision in the main event, where it was a split draw.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
And now Glover and Jamal are fighting.
Yeah, Jamal, friend of the pro, hopefully we can get him on before that fight.
That's a banger of a fight. For the two guys in the main event on Saturday, because I didn't see the whole thing. I was backstage for the first part of the fight. It didn't feel as bad as Dana White made it out to be in the post-fight presser. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I didn't think it was. I wasn't like a super entertaining fight, but I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was like as bad as he made it out to be. Like, it was like falling asleep.
He said he went to the back, and him and the matchmakers were so depressed that they like had to basically book the Jamal Hill versus Glover Teixeira fight to lift his spirits. He said, he said it like depressed him.
Well, the draw made it even worse.
Yeah, that's the worst, most frustrating outcome you could have in MMA.
Also, the two of them are just not the most like excited. Like, unless the Polish Power is knocking somebody out,
yeah,
they're not the most like exciting fighters. I have a lot of respect for Ankley of the way he responded in the third, in the fourth, fifth round. Especially after his leg was getting shoot. I thought he was going to get TKO with leg kicks. There was a point early, like, he was smashing his leg. And they're both, especially Jan's like an older guy. I mean, Glover, Jamal Hill, I think definitely made up for it. Also crazy that Jamal Hill had literally agreed to the fight before they talked to both them literally before the fighters even out of the cage.
Yeah.
They basically had that fight like verbally agreed to before Rogan interviewed both of them.
Anthony Smith is the one who was like pissed about it, obviously, because he had to fight with Jamal.
Do you see that Jamal reached out to him though?
No.
I thought that was very respectful, and he didn't need to do that.
Where he was like, after
he like said he called him like or like messaged him like right after. I think he actually called him right after. Was like, yo, like they offered the fight, I'm taking it.
And of course, if you're Anthony Smith, it sucks for you, but you got to understand it from Jamal's perspective.
Jamal said it's his exact take. Quote was like, he was like, oh shit, motherfucker, I would have taken it too. I would have left.
Yeah,
tried to
exactly.
So like. Listen, he's an OG. You can't, like, Smith gets it.
Yeah.
He's fought for a title.
Exactly.
I mean, who knows? I mean, he goes, wins another fight or two. He could definitely get back.
Yeah.
He's still right there.
And I'm happy for Jamal because what a rise for him.
Crazy. He's opening the favorite, too.
Yeah. And he could win.
So funny. They told
knock him out.
They told him he was the favorite. He was pissed.
Jamal was?
Yeah.
Why?
I think he assumed he was an underdog. And they were like, oh, like, you're actually minus 150. And he was like, nah, fuck that. Like, he you could tell he just wanted to have that. Like, he had an awesome
that underdog energy.
He had an awesome clip on Ariel's show where he talked about like he kind of was like when you talk about how when he was working in the factory, he had guys in the factory that were like, "Yo, like you're never gonna like beat shit with this fighting shit. Like you wouldn't be in this factory with me if you were any good." And shit. It was very passionate. He almost brought like tears of like, but it was there were like these always like motivational inner tears where he was like, he pretty much was like. Any person dreams of, if you get to find out like how good I really am. And he was like on that night, like I'll finally get to answer that question for myself. And he literally said, his exact quote was, I'm more dangerous. Because, like, I'm going to leave it all out there. Like, this is my, like, this, who knows? Like, this might be my one chance ever to prove, like, I'm the best lightweight in the world.
I really think he could knock him out.
He absolutely can. Yeah. Will he is the question. He absolutely is capable. He has phenomenal hands. He hits like a truck.
That's one of those fights, too, where I really, really do like both guys. So whoever wins, I'm going to be happy for them and just upset for the loser.
The problem is my fear for Jamal. If the two things, the fight goes later, better for Glover.
Of course.
Second thing, Santos was able to wrestle him some, where Glover's much better than that. Yeah. So I am worried about a world where he puts Jamal on his back, is able to ground and pound,
definitely could
chase submissions. That's definitely a thing that could happen as well. But I'm a huge Jamal Hill guy. I have a lot of respect for him. Him kind of tell. I also very unfortunate. He's had a lot of like. He's had some shit has happened. He's had a couple family members pass the last like Jamal, month or so. Like very sad. I think he's talking about like it was like his aunt and then like his either his aunt, I think his aunt or his grandmother, and then also like one of his cousins who's like young.
Damn.
I think pretty in like the last like few months. So I guess they've been going through a lot of it. I love Jamal Hill though. Love Glover. Yeah. So that card is shaping out to be awesome.
Yep. That'll and be also, January. Is that January?
Yeah, I think January 21st, I think.
Yeah, late January, yeah.
Also, I think we got to touch on two more fights on that one. The kid? The Roses. The kid.
Oh, I mean, just the literal kid. Yeah, the
Roses
kid
Jr. in high school. I mean, what a performance. I mean, about the grown man strength fighting a guy like Perrin. I mean, listen, he ragdolled him. That was unbelievable. Yeah. Hats off to him. Shout out to him and his mom getting the minivan.
Yeah, the 50K.
Got the 50 G's for the minivan. I mean, the sky's the limit for him.
Seriously.
Like, it really is.
Imagine him going into school on Monday, too. How cool, was he in the homeroom? He was like, I just fucking whoop some ass. Like, tries to tell him off, like, I would step up to the teacher. Be like, what the fuck did you just say? Did you say homework?
He knocked out a grown man.
Yeah.
Or, actually, he submitted. Ragdolled him, though. Ragdolled a grown-ass man.
And then what was the other fight?
Got to talk about Taporia Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
listen, Taporia. I know there's a lot of the hand centers. And sanitizer boy talk, but
different weight classes. We won't fight him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That won't be a fight, but I mean, Taporia is special.
Crazy.
Like, honestly, after watching that fight, and I think he even can be more technical. He even got wild because he knew pretty quickly how much better his hands were than Mitchell's, that he could take him out, and he was right. So I think there was even a few times where he got like where he was swinging some like wild punches, chasing
Mitchell
the finish.
Hit him a couple times
for like, sure.
He got the black guy. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, his grappling mixed with that striking is incredible.
And just his boxing, his pure boxing is crazy.
People incredible. Are posting, like, he hits like a truck, too.
Little clips on Twitter.
Big time power in his hands.
Crazy uppercut, crazy hooks.
Because Mitchell's got a chin.
Yeah.
And he just battered him. Mitchell, great grappler. And Mitchell
said he had the flu after that. Did you see that?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I didn't like it either. When fighters come out,
said he should have pulled out, I was like, come on, man.
I know.
Like, you got flu, no flu. You got
Paul Acosta vibes. If I was you drunk.
Got listen, he got he's a grappler that got out grappled.
Yeah,
he got outstruck badly by the striker. He was incredibly impressive. I'd honestly be shocked if he doesn't fight for the belt one day.
He had a great line
at minimum
pre fight when he was like, I'm going to elbow his head and make it as flat as he thinks the earth is. And then afterwards, he was like, and I did it,
dude. He's a unique guy, he's a special guy. A UFC fight in Spain would be pretty sick.
It'd be awesome. But who looked better than I thought they would? Darren Till.
Yeah, it was Till's a weird one because there was so much you could take away from it, like where he obviously looked so bad in the first round, and then he finally is able to get like that little bit ground and pound at the end of the first, where you're like, oh, like, you know what? Maybe like Jurgis just throw a million punches, which he did.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it took him almost the second round to kind of like get his win back, where that's what Till started.
Tore his fucking ACL.
Till started piecing him up on the feet. I thought Driggers was very impressive as well. Taporia to me was like would be my like most impressive of the night.
I would probably agree.
All considering competition and what he did to the level of competition.
I probably agree.
That was phenomenal. Like, I really was like, I was wowed. And he was my favorite player on the card. And I still was like, wow, like this guy, like they need to get
him. I know you and Jack were so high on him, and I really thought Bryce Mitchell was going to win that fight.
Yeah. So I was the guy talking to the group about it now. See, Arnold Allen to rank. I agree. He either needs to get like
Allen, yeah.
Allen, Ortega. He called out Ortega. Yeah, that would be
a
great
call out.
Ortega would be
What's
a great
his
fight.
Status? Do we know?
I think he's getting better because right now we have Emmett Yair booked.
Yep.
So pretty much the only three options for him are like Arnold, Holloway, or Ortega.
Even the Holloway fight would be fire at this point.
Dude, awesome. Awesome, because we've seen like Holloway's takedown defense is incredible.
Yeah.
I want, because they're striking, the two of them striking would be incredible.
But I also worry, like, I don't want to see Holloway get knocked out by Topuria, man.
He's going to be knocked out by anybody.
I know.
He's got, he wants to win a chin from the gods.
Yeah.
That's, I think he could knock out Ortega.
Yeah. I really think he could knock out almost anybody.
I think Topuria
could knock out anyone in the division.
Pretty, almost anybody. But like, also it'd be awesome to see him and, this obviously be if he ended up like winning probably another fight or two, but I just now like kind of get two short kings at
him and Volk.
Him and Volk.
Yeah.
Volk, I think right now might be a little more technical with a strike, a little more clean.
I think so too.
But I also, like I said before, I think part of that, part of Ilya getting like a little, now I don't want to call it sloppy because he's very technical, but I think he got a little KO hungry. Like he smelled the blood.
Yeah.
And he was throwing the big, like leaping hook, like really trying to like get him out of there.
Yeah.
But I mean, he got it done. He was impressive. Very impressive.
So do you want to move on to this weekend's card?
Yeah, let's do it. Let
me pull it up on my phone here. It's the last UFC card of the year. Last UFC card for a while. Yeah, unfortunately. Always feels horrible when they go on these long stretches of like, we're getting it every week and then you get nothing. I feel like I'm going through withdrawals. All right. So obviously the main event, Cannonier versus Strickland. But we'll go as we normally do. We'll start at the prelims, kind of work our way up. The first fight of the night. What do we got here? Oh, there's a lot of fights on this card. Journey Newson versus Sergey Morozov, the bantamweight division.
Yeah, Morozov is a big favorite, and rightfully so. I like Morozov. Newson, he looked good in his last fight, but who did he fight? He fought somebody who – who did he fight his last – it was somebody who was like not very good.
Fernie Garcia.
That's what it was. Contender series.
274.
Contender series guy who I wasn't crazy about. I remember I bet on Newsom. Newsom was like a small favorite and he won. He looked pretty good. Yeah, I like Morozov here. The line's big, but I think he's like parlay piece play.
Okay.
I trust him enough that way.
In the flyweight division right afterwards, Manel Cape versus David Dvorak. Is that Cape or Cape?
I can go either way. It's tough. I feel like I go back and forth on it. Some of these names, even when it's K-A-P, it's tough.
I know. Names, and I'll never be good at names in MMA. We need a name guy on the show almost. Like, Lee's pretty good at it, actually.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need an Anik.
We need someone that just knows the pronunciations and has that thing in their brain that has, like, the memory. Because I could watch a guy fight 15 times and not know what his name is.
No. Also, because announcers call it different things.
Yeah. Like Bisping will say one thing.
Anik is always the right one.
Always.
But
Anik will always have the correct pronunciation. Because what Anik does is he has all of the fighters record of saying their name for him.
Yeah, this is a tough one because there's part of me that kind of that like wants to take a shot at Dvorak plus 200. But I mean, this is going to be a fight where they stand and strike for the most part. And I just think Cobb is better. Like, he hits harder. Like, I think if somebody lands a knockout, it's way more likely to be him. Mm-hmm. So probably not a play for me. I would pick Cobb, like picking the fight. I just think he has more ways to win. But Dvorak's sneaky. I mean, he's 20-4 for a reason. The guy's a winner. But I just think like strength wise, striking wise, I think Cobb has the edge here.
The next fight, a welterweight battle between, oh, see what I did there? Between Brian Battle and Renat, oh my God, this name, Fakhretdinov?
Good enough. Gotta be good enough.
That was pretty good. Brian Battle seems to have the advantage everywhere in this fight in terms of stats, in terms of tail of the tape. What's the odds? Do you have that?
Battle's plus like 125. Renat's minus like 150.
The younger guy, the taller guy, longer reach.
Yeah, I like Battle, and I think what I really liked about Battle is every time we've seen him, I feel like he looks better and better.
Yep.
Where Renat, I feel like this is big. I feel like Renat is probably gonna have to wrestle because I think Battle's gonna be better striker here. I do. I mean that head kick knockout he had over Soto in the last fight was one of the better knockouts of the year. That was
definitely
an incredible fight.
Well, we should
finish.
Maybe next week we'll do a knockouts of the year show.
When there's no card. Yeah, we should do. We should give our personal awards.
Yeah, either next like come week back or like fight. After, we'll give all those awards. Yeah, we'll do something like that.
Yeah, I like Battle here as a dog. Like I said, I think he just keeps improving. I think he's a guy who has more ways to finish. Not that his striking is bad. His striking actually is pretty good. But his wrestling could definitely come into play here, which is why partly, like, I see why he's the favorite. I understand, because probably that wrestling upside probably gives him the edge.
Yeah, someone just said, I'm not betting against a Russian wrestler. I get you.
No, yeah, I definitely don't blame him at all. He was actually the guy, if you remember, he knocked out Sean Spicely.
Yeah.
Looking for a fight in that, so he got to the UFC.
Yep.
I think he's 2-0 in the UFC, I'm pretty sure. Renat. But yeah, I like Battle here as a dog. Definitely take a shot at Battle.
In the lightweight division, Rafa Garcia versus Mahashete. I'm not even gonna try the first name. Hyasar. I guess I did try.
This one's so tough.
I don't have any read on this one.
So however you say his name.
He just has one fight in the UFC, right?
He was the guy who, if you remember, I bet on him. He was supposed to, like, 500 contender series because no one even had tape on him. They never even, like, seen him.
Oh.
And he won. He won a decision against, like, a pretty good.
I don't remember his contender series. I remember the Steve Garcia.
It was a good three round stand up fight where he had that clearly won, but, like, solid, like, competitive fight. And then he fought Steve Garcia, knocked him out
in the first round.
And I bet against him, and I swore I would never do it again.
And so you can on this fight.
And I'm sitting here kind of wanting to bet Rafa.
No, you can't.
But I don't think I can. I want to. He's someone who I think this is where the wrestling's going to be a factor. That's why I'm speaking honestly, I like Rafa. I think this is where his wrestling's going to be a thing.
All right, fair enough.
But he also, he's taller, but he's not much longer.
If he wins again, though, you really can't bet against him.
I almost might not even bet either.
Just stay away
from
him.
I think there's just something about Machete. I think he's just got a little something there. I think he's just kind of a winner. And I think people just don't, I think, because all we saw, like, in that, it was a beautiful, like, step back, like, check, and just like a straight right, and just put it right on Garcia's chin and just fucking folded him.
The next one, Saeed versus Saeed. Saeed Nurmagomedov.
This could be fight of the night.
Saeed Yakub Kakramanov.
Yep.
Is that fair?
He was incredibly impressive his last fight. He fought what's his name? Ronnie Lawrence.
That's right.
He was like a decorated wrestler. I remember he was a guy who, like, Dana coming out of Contender Series was saying, like, Ronnie's special.
Nurmagomedov's on a streak too.
Yeah. And Kakramanov, I mean, he just ragged all Ronnie Lawrence. Then Ronnie Lawrence came out after the fight and said he had some, like, health issues he was dealing with, that he took the fight anyway, which maybe played a factor, who knows, but he looked really good. Saeed's interesting because he's obviously an Nurmagomedov, but he's really, like, he's a striker.
Different. Yeah, he's
way really
different.
More he's his true, like, game is striking. Like, he does have some, but his takedown defense is very, when you're winning Nurmagomedovs, takedown defense can be pretty good.
Yeah.
I was going to say Saeed. They're both basically Saeed.
Yeah, Nurmagomedov.
I lean Nurmagomedov. It's pretty much a pick 'em fight.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
You answer with the guy who says, don't bet against Russians. This is where I'm not betting against the true Russian here.
In the middleweight division, Julian Marquez versus Deron Wynn. Is this odds on this one? I feel like Marquez should be a big favorite.
He's minus like 170, 175.
Okay. I do think he's going to win this fight pretty handily. Too.
I know Jack Meck likes Wynn.
Really?
He likes the wrestling.
Huh.
And I feel like Wynn's been one of those guys for me. Like, I bet him as a dog and he just, like, doesn't win.
No.
Like, Phil Hawes. Like,
I was going to say, didn't you bet him against Hawes?
I did. Yeah. And Phil Hawes beat the brakes off him. Like, it was never close. Phil Hawes crushed him. Yeah, I like Marquez here too. Marquez is someone who I bet against him as a dog and I've won before. And then I bet the last fight I bet against him and RoboCop, like, murdered him.
Yep.
Even though he was tough as hell, he took some big shots. So finally he got blasted with one that just put him out. But I like Marquez here.
I like this next fight too. Next fight is Semi the Jedi versus Jake Matthews.
This is where now Jake Matthews is finally getting almost getting too much respect. And I like Matthews. If Matthews looked how he looked against Fiallo.
Yeah.
He looked incredible.
It's like a flawless performance.
Incredible. But Semmelsberger is a banger.
Yeah, and he's also like, he's not like an easy guy to finish and put out. Like,
no, he's got a chin.
Yeah.
Like, he's a top, very top
dude. I like Semi the Jedi.
Do you?
I don't know if I love him in this fight. I like him as a fighter.
For me, is the line has gotten wide where, like, Matthew, it's just tough for me when you were getting Matthews against Fiallo as a dog.
Yeah.
And now you're getting him against Semelsberger as a -270 favorite.
That's steep.
I think
Semi's a good bet there, actually.
Listen, I think Matthews wins the fight. I'm not confident enough to bet -270 on a straight bet.
Yeah.
That is pricey to me.
Now, if it was like him via decision or something?
Yes. That I don't mind Matthews by decision. This is another one that I think could definitely be fighting that as well.
Yeah. Banger.
Or even this is one of those for me, like, if this was minus like 200.
I gotta be honest, I feel like they should flip this and the prelim main event is Chan Bais and Corey McKenna. I feel like this is like a prelim main event for you.
It's a great fight. Really good fight.
And no disrespect to Corey McKenna and Bais. That's a fine fight.
Antonio said Fial looked way off, though. The fight was in Singapore. I don't, yeah, but I mean, Matthews isn't the real, like, Matthews is from Australia. Fiala's from Portugal, I think. I know he trains in Florida. He trains in, like, Miami,
yeah,
like, South Florida. I don't know. Like, I mean, Matthews just looked really impressive, though, regardless of how Fiala. I know he had fought a bunch. He was trying to do the thing where he was fighting on every pay-per-view card.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And then he just got knocked out that one. So obviously, yeah, that streak was over. You know, I like Matthews here.
Do you have a read on the next fight? Bais and McKenna?
I'd probably give me the dog. I was in these women's fights, like, give me the dog here. She's got good takedowns, McKenna. I think if she's that, she definitely a very winnable fight.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much her path to victory here. Plus 160, I'd take a shot at McKenna.
And then the main card we're up to. In the first fight, we've got Oleg Sajic versus Cody Brundage. Very good fight.
Really good fight.
I like Cody Brundage here. What about you?
I do too. I think this line's wide. So I think this is a line. I think this is a fight where you're going to know kind of quickly, like, what happens, like, what's going to happen, where I think this is a straight, like, if Brundage gets takedowns, like, it could be over fast.
Yep.
If Michael lands early, it could be over fast. But at the same time, we watched Brundage eat some big shots from Dulcich, who I know Dulcich's not great. He just got cut literally like yesterday.
Oh, did he?
He got removed. But like, Dulcich hits like a truck. He hits hard as fuck.
Yeah.
And Brundage was able to eat those shots and still pull off that guillotine. Like, I don't see why he couldn't take down Michelle here. I'm not even trying to pronounce his last name. Is like Oleg Sajic.
Yeah.
I've seen him fight a bunch. Even in the loss to Jacoby, I thought he fared well. Mm-hmm. In the striking, Jacoby's much bigger. Jacoby definitely won the fight, but I thought Michelle was impressive. I just think the line's too wide. I think Brundage is a winner. I think he showed me.
Yeah.
I've been on Brundage's last like 3-4 fights. Whatever, like, I mean, three. He's been a dog. He's won all of them. He's just a winner. Like, everyone thought he was going to knock down that Gore fight, and then he knocks out Gore.
Yeah.
This is actually one for me. I wouldn't hate if you want to bet just like a straight, like, fight ends first round.
Yeah.
At plus money. I know the under 1.5 rounds is, it's like a favorite to go like under 1.5 rounds. They think there's going to be a quick fight.
What are the odds on the next fight? Drew Dober and Bobby Green.
So Bob, it's Dober minus like 165, 160, really? Which that makes sense.
Makes sense. But I actually think Bobby Green like has a decent shot to win that fight.
Yeah, no, I think he has a chance. I think so. The problem, Dober has a chin of steel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard to get out of
the
there.
Crimson chin.
I think if someone got finished, it would be more likely to be Green got finished, which Green's a tough guy too. Like, nothing against, I think Green's,
I can see good. Green decision right there though.
Yeah. Even, like, I think if you're going to bet up. Green, like, bet decision, I personally, both I like good fight. I like Dober.
Both really good. This has fight at night potential as well, I
for
think.
For sure. Yeah, I personally like Dober. And the last one, I think Brundage plus 230 just a cap is, I think, a solid bet.
Yeah.
If it goes up anymore, like if he was able to get to like 240, 250, get like,
you're on it.
Like, yeah. I'm on it regardless, but Brundage, like, I mean, he might put even more out of it if it kept going up.
In the featherweight division, we've got Alex Caceres versus Julian Arosa.
Another good fight, man.
Yeah, this is a sneaky good card.
Good matchups on the card. Yeah, it's a good matchup.
Good one to end the year.
I like this matchmaking.
Probably lean Julian Arosa here.
I do too, and I'm actually surprised. I thought the fight would be a little closer. Otherwise, Arosa's minus 175, so not like crazy, yeah, but Caceres is sneaky, though.
No, he is.
With his submissions, very sneaky.
He's one of those guys who, like, every now and then you forget about him, and then he faces a prospect, and then he dominates the prospect, like Chase Hooper, like he did. Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, this guy's the real deal.
He just pieced up Hooper with just no strike.
He's been in the UFC for what feels like 20 forever. Years at this point.
Forever. Yeah. He was on Ultimate Fighter
a long time ago.
Arosa, too. I like Arosa here, but because if you're gonna take Caceres, I personally think you take Caceres sub.
Yeah,
because I think if he's gonna get it done, I think that's a very sneaky way. If he just snatches the bet, takes the back. Yeah, he's very good in that position.
He's a weird fighter, hard to prepare for. I assume
for sure.
In the flyweight division, Amir Albazi versus Albazi.
Yeah,
Albazi versus Alessandro Costa. Alessandro Costa, contender series guy.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
This is his UFC debut.
Albazi, like, easy. I think Albazi absolutely runs through him. Yeah, I just don't Albazi by finish is minus like 130. And I don't even think that's like crazy.
Yeah.
He's a big submission artist. By sub, he's like plus 130. I honestly think that's a decent bet.
Yeah.
I know it's plus 130 for a submission, but Albazi, I think he's a monster. I think he's a potential dark horse of flyweight. He keeps getting better and better.
Patty beat Juicy J. What does that mean? They never fought.
Actually, they might have.
Did they fight in Cage Warriors?
They might have, like, way, way back. I actually think. Yeah, I think he's right.
Did they really?
No, I'm pretty sure he's right. I actually think he did. So in my lay minus 500, I wouldn't lay. I would put him in a parlay, though. I would absolutely put.
Fair enough.
I would make Albazi a parlay piece. I don't think I'd lay. Like, it would be very rare circumstance for me to, like, lay my minus 450, 500 with someone straight up, but parlay piece, absolutely.
All right, the next fight, the co-main event, another banger. Armin Tarsukian versus Ismagulov.
Tarsukian.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be Tarsukian.
Banger, but yeah.
Because even Ismagulov, I honestly thought...
The Cage Warriors Championship. Shit, he did. Unreal.
I actually, even Ismagulov, like, I honestly thought he lost that fight to Guram.
I don't remember Kutzladze as well as you.
I remember I bet Kutzladze plus like 140. He's the one he beat Fazeev.
Yes.
And I think Guram, he trains with Hamzat and them. I think Guram is very, very good. So I don't make this like a super like a slouch against Ismagulov. I just think he won that. I thought Guram won that fight. I thought it was very close. I think Tarsukian's gonna be able to get takedowns here. I think that's gonna be the difference.
Yeah.
I like Tarsukian. I think Tarsukian might have won the better. Honestly, he was talking about it this week. I think he'd have one of the better chances of anybody to beat Islam if somebody could.
Really?
So he came in. That's one of his only losses, Tarsukian. That's been basically the person that's given Islam the most comp in his career besides when he got knocked out that one time, which was kind of like a fluke.
True. At this point, seems
like I like Tarsukian. Sure. Tarsukian's a tough dude, man. Really tough dude.
And then what are the odds on the main event? Jared Cannonier versus Sean Strickland.
Point flip.
Is it?
I like Cannonier.
Oh, I kind of like Strickland.
So I in a five rounder, I just think Cannonier has more like, I think he finds the shot. I think he finds the big one.
He may.
I think Strickland will. If it doesn't end early, yeah. I think Strickland will have stretches where he looks good, and the number balloons up. But I think Cannonier will find that shot. I thought he looked really impressive against Brunson. Even against Izzy, I didn't think he was like looked horrible.
Yeah.
Izzy's just a different animal to fight.
Yeah. I feel like Strickland presents like that weird Sean Strickland unpredictability, though, where it's like he's bringing the X factor in this
for
fight,
sure.
And he's got five rounds to bring it. And I think that maybe it doesn't favor him, but I think he's got that at any moment, Sean Strickland could do something crazy and finish the fight.
See, but I don't think it's like impossible for him to finish, but, I don't know. I just think if you told me right now somebody's getting knocked out, I'm like, oh,
well, yeah.
I'm like, oh, like Cannonier probably knocked him out.
After the last one, too, it's like, I don't know if his chin is damaged Strickland.
Yeah. I think Cannonier's damn good. And I think the problem with Strickland is his strength can almost be like his weakness where
he'll get reckless.
He's so willing to like stand and trade that when you fight dudes like, I'm not saying Cannonier's Pereira, but when you fight dudes that hit like a fucking Mack truck, you'll get knocked out sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think Cannon and Strickland, he hits hard. He's not like a, he's never been known to be like a one punch knockout guy.
No,
that's not really his thing. He's a volume guy.
Yeah.
And I just think Cannonier with five rounds finds it.
He may.
I'll call like third round. I'll say Cannonier third round.
Sean is also a guy who will walk right into those punches trying to be the tough guy.
That's what I'm saying. Where exactly. I think that can be like a good thing for him sometimes, but also can be like that's how you get knocked out as well.
No, I do agree with that. That's the card though. That's the UFC 282 reaction, the Patty the Batty, Justin Gaethje, Dave, all that reaction, and then the preview. I don't know if we'll be back next week to recap this and do a little award show. If we'll be back the week after, if we're not back next week, happy holidays to everyone and all that. But I think we'll be back. I'll be here earlier in the week.
I'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think that's when the office is open.
Cool. All right. Cool. We'll see you boys next week.
And real quick, just I'll just say this because I know this. You guys a few times just ended. You watched the Stotts Sabatello at all?
I did not. No.
So Stotts. So Sabatello did much better than I thought he was going to with the wrestling. He was able to wrestle him and hold him down, and keep him down for significant stretches. But he did zero damage like ever at any point. Mm-hmm. I thought two of the cards of the three were Stotts 3-2. I thought when I left, I was like, I thought Stotts won 3-2. That was my honest call. One of the judges who
Doug Crosby.
Crosby, who was one of the Patty judges now people know about, was had it 50-45 Sabatello. Which is one of the worst scorecards I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Just can't fathom how you gave him all five. There was like two rounds that it was like clear Stotts. Like,
yeah.
No brainer.
Tougher Sabatello. A little bit tougher his brand in terms of doing no damage.
But that's kind of
every fight, which but is he never
really does a ton of damage.
But eventually people are going to catch on to him saying, I'm going to put 30 stitches in your face and be like, bro, you've never put a stitch in anyone's face.
Yeah. I was surprised. Also, shout out to,
he kind of came at Patty too a little bit.
Yeah. Also, I'll say shout out to Nichols. He was the guy who knocked out Pat Downey, who he's like this big like Iowa wrestler, was minus like 2,000 and got slept.
Yep. Texting in the group chat. Dude, it was like, holy
wild.
Shit. Yeah.
He had like a Lee like mullet.
Oh, really?
And he went in there like the guy clipped him early, landed like a big hook that like made him do like not a full drop, but one of those. Where your butt sat him down, his butt touches ankles.
Yeah. Almost like Khabib and McGregor, not to bring up old wounds.
Worse than that. Oof. Like really hurt him. Like definitely worse than McGregor wasn't nearly as hurt.
No.
He did
that thing though where he just, you know, he stayed on his feet the whole time.
No, he did a straight like his butt hit the like bounce.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then he kind of like popped up, he like laid and then he got up. And then he just landed a hook. Or no, not a hook, an uppercut. That just like blasts him.
Sounded like a good card for Bellator, though, to be honest.
It was a good card.
Like just following along on Twitter, people were tweeting that it was good.
No, it was a good card. Because then even also shout out Patchy Mix. Yeah. Really good performance over another Nurmagomedov.
Yeah.
Or how you say that guy's name. There's so many of them. He's not Nurmagomedov, but he's Magomedov, I think. It's just Magomedov. And he was good as well. But yeah, Patchy Mix ran through him. Very impressive. So Patchy Mix and Rafion Stotts is the fight.
Yeah.
That should be a great fight.
There we go. All right. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. We'll see you next time.